The Public News Service Thursday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Climate change is making it harder to grow coffee, forcing farmers to move to higher ground to escape rising temperatures.
The most popular variety, Arabica, is being squeezed out in favor of a hardier plant, Robusta. But Blanca Castro with the International Women's Policy Alliance in Guatemala says small farmers often don't have the time and money it takes to adapt.
If the producers are not doing enough to have a decent livelihood, they either sell their land, change the crop, those kind of decisions that sometimes needs to be taken by small families where the struggles are every day.
Right now, the demand for coffee exceeds the supply. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This story produced with original reporting by Anna Connor for Civil Eats. Next, from the Associated Press, they have millions of followers online. They have been major players in right-wing political discourse since Donald Trump was president, and they worked unknowingly for a company that was a front for a Russian influence operation that's according to U.S. prosecutors. The AP reports an indictment filed Wednesday alleges a media company linked to six conservative influencers, including well-known personalities Tim Pool, Dave Rubin, and Benny Johnson, was secretly funded by Russian state media employees to churn out English-language videos that were often consistent with the Kremlin's interest in amplifying U.S. domestic divisions in order to weaken U.S. opposition to Russian interests like its war in Ukraine. Meantime, as Ohio gears up for the upcoming election, debates over new voting regulations are heating up.
The recent proposal by Secretary of State Frank LaRose to eliminate ballot drop boxes has sparked significant controversy. State Senator Bill DeMora is a vocal advocate for voting rights and says it's already difficult to use drop boxes around the state with just one drop box in each county.
It's ridiculous. And it's working people and working families and college students to make it tougher for people to vote.
DeMora adds that the proposal disproportionately affects those with limited access to transportation or tight schedules. However, LaRose's proposal stems from concerns over ballot harvesting, where unauthorized individuals collect and submit multiple ballots, a practice illegal under Ohio state law. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
And nearly a year after the U.S. Supreme Court left key watersheds unprotected by the Clean Water Act, the Polis administration has designated new protections for some 385 miles across 15 rivers and streams in the upper and lower Colorado. The measures protect the Eagle, Yampa, and Roaring Fox river basins. Chad Rutto is with the Roaring Fox Conservancy. He says the outstanding waters designation is an important tool to protecting drinking water.
Which means it's protecting the actual quality of the water. And that's the highest level of protection that can be given to a stream within the state of Colorado.
Next, this is Public News Service. The Sunshine State, where a new national report reveals that while the U.S. has made significant progress in reducing youth incarceration rates, troubling disparities still exist.
The Youth Justice by the Numbers report by the Sentencing Project highlights a dramatic 75% decline in youth incarceration nationwide, with the number of youths in juvenile justice facilities dropping from 108,000 in 2000 to just 27,000 in 2022. Florida has mirrored this national trend with a notable decline in youth incarceration. Christian Miner with the Florida Juvenile Justice Association attributes this decrease to a philosophical shift in the state's approach to juvenile justice.
They used to lock a ton of kids up in residential setting for violations of probation, which would be things like missing curfew, failed drug test. You know, we're not talking new crime. And now it's nothing like that. So the biggest thing was the implementation of the risk assessment.
I'm Tramell Gomes.
And some emergency medical services, or EMS, are consolidating or closing across Wyoming, while the need for services is on the rise.
In 2021, Wyoming EMS agencies received about 89,000 calls for service. That's a roughly 27% increase in 5 years. The law doesn't require EMS services be funded in a community, but a recent AARP survey shows that many people think communities should chip in funding. Tom Laycock with AARP Wyoming says 16 EMS providers have folded or consolidated over the last decade.
And when you tell folks that you know, EMS is not an essential service. It's not required to be there. They kind of do a double take.
73% of Wyomingites think that communities should fund EMS in the same way as police and fire departments, according to the survey. A 2022 Wyoming Department of Health report shows roughly half of EMS nationwide are delivered through fire departments. Others come via a combination of municipal and county governments, private providers, and hospital systems. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Finally, from our Eric Tigetoff, a new poll indicates strong support for protections of the West Greater Sage Grouse.
BLM is reviewing public comments on its draft environmental impact statement for amending and strengthening sage grouse protections. The agency has plenty of public support for this. A poll commissioned by the Pew Charitable Trust found 93% of people surveyed backed the BLM's efforts to protect the bird and its habitat. Tyler Dungannon with Oregon Hunters Association says many support even greater protections.
In the western U.S., roughly 70% favored restricting some development of specific public lands to ensure long-term habitat protections for sage grouse.
The poll also found that nearly 60% of respondents say sage grouse conservation efforts boost economic development.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.